Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, The Atom number 29, cover date February 1967, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Gil Kane, edited by Julius Schwartz, featuring The Thinker's Earth-Shaking Robberies, written by Gardner Fox, art by Gil Kane and Sid Green. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go-go.
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away. And now is so much fun.
What? While touring a museum with Jean Loring, Ray Palmer witnesses a robbery by the costumed criminal, the Thinker. Ray tries to stop the robbery as the Atom, but the Thinker escapes through a dimensional warp back to his home, Earth 2. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Best of both worlds, that's what you want. All your own way, that's not my way. I won't share you, I couldn't bear to. It's time for you to choose which love you'd rather lose. Could you love her and forget me? Are you sorry that you met me? What we've been through means nothing to you. I can't satisfy you. You want best of both worlds.
What are you drinking there?
I'm having a delicious cafe mocha.
Is it a General Foods International Coffee cafe mocha?
Do you remember that waiter in Paris?
Jean-Luc. No, but I do remember my grandmother, Mrs. White, always had, she and her sister, Aunt Sue, always had tins of General Foods International Coffee.
Did they?
I think their favorite was Cafe Vienna, if I'm not mistaken,
sure.
Which I think had orange flavor in it.
Well, this is Swiss Miss Cocoa Mix.
Yes.
Hot milk mixed together, and then I poured in some espresso from my little, my espresso pot, that I, my, you know, stovetop espresso maker.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Mrs. White also used to make me pearl tea,
ooh,
which was hot milk, half and half hot milk, hot water, and sugar.
Ask me why I'm drinking a cafe mocha on a Sunday afternoon.
Why are you drinking cafe mocha on a Sunday afternoon?
Because that miserable hound dog of ours would not let me sleep.
Of ours?
Okay, my miserable hound dog would not let me sleep. You know how he likes to sit in that, in my office on the bed.
Yes.
Yeah, we have like a twin size bed in the office for guests. What if they come?
Yes.
And anyway, he sits there and looks out the front door, a front window all day long and barks. Well, you'd think after all these years, I would learn to put him downstairs and just close the gate that we have that gates them off from the upstairs.
Yeah.
But no. I get to the point where I'm just asleep. And I go, Butler, shut up. And then I just start to fall asleep again. And I lost my cool.
Yeah.
I went storming out of the bedroom into his room and I said, and I just yelled at him. I didn't, you know, didn't hit him or anything like that. It's my dog, for God's sake. But I yelled at him and said, get out of this room. I'm trying to sleep. And then I closed the shades in the room, and he just slinked out of the room because he knew I was upset, right?
Right.
Then I go back to my bed, and he follows me in there and looks at me with those pitiful, sad old hound dog eyes, and I called him up on the bed, and I scratched his belly and told him that I loved him. But then I couldn't go up to sleep.
Well,
and that was just after I had just read three quarters of The Atom. I was at this perfect sleep stage.
Yeah.
Comic-induced Sunday afternoon sleep stage.
Sure.
Oh, well, it's all ruined now.
Well, you've got to withhold love or he's never going to learn.
It could have been so much easier. I could have just closed him downstairs, gone up to read the comic, read for 30 minutes, fall asleep, wake up on a Sunday afternoon, wake up 2 hours later, and be all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. No. And you know what? My last week was awesome.
Yes.
I practiced and practiced and practiced. Yes. I'm on sabbatical now.
Yeah, right, sure.
I did readings and research.
Wow.
And it's been fantastic. I've never had a sabbatical before in the 18 years I've been in higher education. So I'm very, very, very grateful to have one right now.
Yeah. In a way, my entire career has been one long sabbatical.
Oh, there's the walkers. You can't see them yet.
Oh, by the way, what? I was at the grocery and I saw the woman who gave us our cat, Mr. Willoughby.
Oh, yes, okay.
And she launched into some story about how, thank you, there goes the dog barking.
Okay.
Thank you for the pillows. My neighbor got them back to me.
What pillows?
I don't know. She was making up a story about me, and I just nodded. You know how I do. I smiled and nodded like I understood what she was talking about. I just assumed maybe you had done something, and she was wanting me to pass a message along to you.
Absolutely not.
Well, I guess we'll never know.
I have no idea what she's talking about.
I don't either.
The pillows?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Nope. No pillows at work. No pillows involved. I have no idea what she's talking about.
I smiled, nodded, and thanked her for the cat and went on my way.
Yeah. Great.
The Atom, number 29, or perhaps we should say the Atoms, because it's the first team up between the atoms of Earth 1 and your favorite subject,
Earth 2.
Remember that show? We should watch that again. Earth 2 with Antonio
Sabato Jr.
and Clancy Brown. And
it was a great show.
I know.
Yeah.
It ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Like all the shows we love. Not even two atoms, Rob, can outthink or outfight
The thinker,
ain't no man can outthink him or outfight him.
Or outdance him.
Were you familiar with the Earth 2 Atom?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you now, and I will ask you as we get through the comic.
Yes.
What exactly does he do? Because Earth 1 Atom can shrink down and do all sorts of really cool things.
Yep.
Earth 2 Atom, in this issue, just throws his fists.
Well, that's pretty much what he does. He is Al Pratt.
Okay.
He was a college sophomore at Calvin College, 5'1", 98-pound weakling, always getting picked on by the bigger fellas.
In college, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the 40s. I don't know what happened to college in the 40s.
Okay, all right.
He was a little wimpy kid.
Okay.
So he decided he'd had enough because he wanted to date Mary, Pretty Mary, on campus, and so he went and found a trainer and started working out. He got super strong and muscly, and he became the Atom.
That's it? He has no superpowers?
Well, so then later on in the 40s, apparently he did get some enhanced strength or an atomic punch or something, but no, originally he was just a little short, stocky, redhead kid wearing wrestling clothes, and what are those Mexican wrestlers? Mucha Luchas? What are they called?
I don't know.
Lucha Cabres? He had one of those, a full face mask and a little wrestling singlet.
Lucha Cabres.
Which I preferred as a costume. This costume doesn't do much for me.
But. Oh, do you know I have a scratch on my glasses? Can you believe that? I just got these in August.
Anyway.
Yeah?
So can we look forward to lots of malapropisms this issue if you're reading?
No. It's up in the far left-hand corner. I just happened to notice it because I took off my glasses to rub my eye.
So, yeah, just a strong guy. What?
Nothing.
Now, you love Batman, who also has no superpowers, so I don't know why you wouldn't like the Earth 2 Atom.
Well, it just seems to me like Earth 2 Atom might have some sort of special ability other than fisticuffs.
He's got that sick car, which has never appeared before.
That's an awesome car.
When Brain, Rob, comes to battle grips with Brawn, which will win?
The Brain belongs to the Thinker, genius criminal of Earth 2. And the Brawn is supplied by not just one Atom, but by two Teen Titans.
Tiny Titans.
Tiny Titans.
Yes, for the first time in comic-dom, the Atom of Earth 1 links fistic fireworks with his counterpart of Earth 2 when they are called upon to stop
the Thinker's earth-shaking robberies.
Now, I think these gentlemen have met before within a Justice League Justice Society team-up, but they've never one-on-one teamed up.
You mean the Atoms?
The Atoms, yes.
Okay. Well, we got this story by Gardner Fox and art by Gil Kane and Sid Green.
Yes.
Big names here.
The biggest. Mm-hmm. Not as big as actress Cheryl Drake, as she emotes before the cameras for As the World Revolves, soap opera tears fill her eyes.
Some, I'll never see my baby again unless you help me, Dr. Edwards.
Were you a fan of the soaps?
When I was younger?
Yeah.
You know I was. You know, I watched As the World Turns.
Well, we were ABC family.
Do you remember my big problem with As the World Turns?
No.
I was watching As the World Turns one day, and I saw a commercial for Pledge Furniture Polish, and it has scratch covers. And I took a straight pin into the plastic formica or whatever the wood cabinet around my parents' television set, and scratched with a straight pin As the World Turns in the plastic. And then I tried to spray. I sprayed it with Pledge, and it didn't cover it up. There was now scratched As the World Turns, and then brilliant young. I was in second grade. I was 7 years old, right? Sure. Right, second grade, yes. Second 7 years old. Then I took acetate from the garage on a rag and wiped it across the top of the cabinet of the television, which then took the wood grain faux look of the cabinet and completely smeared it to look like someone had just taken wood stain and wax and just like completely smeared the top. I'll never forget when my mom came home and I said, Mom, I've done something awful. At least I would fess up to it. Mom, sure. I've done something awful. She goes, what did you? No, I didn't fess up to it. I just remember what I did. And the last step I did was I took Old English and put it on top, hoping it would cover up everything. Old English furniture polish, which it didn't. And now I remember what happened. My mother came home and I did tell her it was me, obviously.
Yeah.
But she goes, Robert, what's happened to our television? And I came in, I'm like, you know, if I'd had a tail, it would have been between my little butt cheeks, you know. Yeah. I looked at her and I said, I scratched the top and I tried to fix it and I made a big mess. And she goes, why does it say As the World Turns? I said, I was trying to cover scratches. Pledge said you could get a scratch covered. So, I got spanked for that. Well, I was a stupid child. Mischievous, stupid, and willful.
First of all, who's leaving acetate within reach of a 7-year-old?
I drank paint when I was a child. That probably damaged me forever.
That explains so much. Well, Mrs. White used to watch the ABC soaps, and I'd have to sit there and watch with her. And she'd watch All My Children. Well, no, first she'd watch The Edge of Night, and that was a half hour. Then All My Children. Then One Life to Live, but she didn't like that because there was too much kissing on that. So she'd play solitaire or do a hook rug during that. She'd leave it on, but she wouldn't pay attention. Mm-hmm. And then Creme de la Creme, General Hospital.
Did she call it her stories?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that. So hours later, in the law offices of Jean Loring, real tears flow from those same eyes as...
Sob. They're going to take my baby away from me unless you can prevent them.
Randolph Drake and I were married a year ago last month, just after our son was born. My husband was killed in an auto accident. Now his well-to-do parents want Ronnie for themselves.
It's my child. I can support him very nicely. It's true I have a governess while I'm at work, sob.
But your in-laws claim your child needs personal attention. You rehearse all mornings and tape your show in the afternoons. And at night, they claim you're too tired to give Ronnie the love and affection he needs.
They say that, but it isn't true. Grandmother Drake wants my child, but I won't let her have him. I won't, I won't.
Thus, in real life, the heartaches of Cheryl Drake echo those of her television other self.
First of all, these well-to-do parents are 100% going to hire a governess.
Yes, they're not going to take care of this child.
No.
It's they probably lost their only son, and now they want to take the grandson.
Well, that's too bad.
Well, money used to talk those days. Actually, they used to try to they would default, always want to keep the child with the mother.
Right.
But if there were grandparents that were wealthy, they'd probably want to take away.
Well, she's a soap opera actress. I'm sure she's got money.
She's done something very steady and dependable, like acting.
Well, if Joan Crawford can adopt four children as a single mother, I should think Cheryl Drake's not going to have any problem.
Well, who's this woman, Jean Loring? What's her name?
Jean Loring. She's a lady lawyer.
There, Cheryl. We'll fight this, you and I. We won't let anybody take Ronnie from you. Just leave everything to me.
That evening, as Jean Loring visits a rare bookend exhibit.
OMG, of all the things in the world, to become the focus of a treasure theft. Bookends.
Well, they're
bookends.
They are rare bookends. Yes, you have a question?
I do. So, in the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries,
yes,
books were expensive.
Yeah.
And so a large collection of books were considered to be a sign of significant wealth.
Sign of quality, yes.
Right? So, one would keep them stored in a library. You have too been to many historic homes.
Yes.
You don't see bookends in these historic places. You usually see built-in libraries with books from the period.
That does not mean that there aren't rare bookends.
No
from
one
later periods in
1967
history.
Or forward, or not even 1950. No one is going to get out of their chair and walk across the room to see a collection of rare bookends. No one.
I'm Googling it.
Go ahead.
Antique and Vintage Bookends, Collectors Weekly. Collectible bookends for sale eBay. Collectible bookends on Etsy. Lord of the Rings decorated bookends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are cool. It's those statues of the river.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go to eBay soon.
Your crack Googling skills have told us much about the history of bookends, haven't they?
Antique cast iron Rodin's The Thinker golden bookend.
Antique.
$34.
Antique. Antique, if a proper antique, if it's not a collectible, must be at least 100 years old. And that those Rodin
antique,
The Thinker.
Antique vintage brass heavy Egyptian pharaoh head bookends. Rare. Free shipping, $75.
$75. I'm telling you. They could have chosen everything. The emeralds of the Empress of Prussia. The blah, blah, blah of the hat collection of George II. Bookends. Diamond encrusted that. From the Russian Tsar. By a Russian Tsar.
Well, I'm...
I am willing to forgive a lot. Maybe this is why I couldn't sleep.
Maybe. I will allow that I don't think a bookends would be the focus of a museum exhibit.
Well, that's what happens here. All those people here, and there's enough people to double over in pain that you can fill half a panel with them.
Well, Jean thinks they're gorgeous.
Well, she must not get out very much.
Well, she is a lady lawyer. She does work a lot.
Oh, that's right. She spends a lot of time reading her law books.
Well, Ray Palmer. So
okay, let's get Bob. Sorry, enough for my tangent. Let's go on.
Ray's gone to get the car so they can drive to the wharf for their seafood dinner.
The wharf. Except and she's got that. She and everybody else has attack.
That's attack of the grip.
The grip.
She doubles over in pain. Everyone in this exhibit doubles over in pain.
It's Ray, like they have the bends.
Yes, Ray says it's like the bends. Everybody is afflicted with the same painful reactions divers get when they come up too swiftly from one sea level to another, caused by gas bubbles forming in the body fluids, interfering with normal circulation.
Do you know that in quicksand were my two biggest fears as a child?
The bends? Were you a diver?
I swam all the time in the pool. I didn't know how deep you had to go to get the bends. I would go and I was a very, very, very good swimmer. I would often just dive into the pool and just blow all my air out and sit on the bottom of the pool. And then I would be like, well, how fast should I come up? Well, I need air. Well, it must be deeper. It must be deeper that divers get the bends.
Yeah, it's significantly deeper, yes.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, getting the bends wasn't really a fear of mine.
Okay.
Quicksand totally
Quicksand and spontaneous human combustion.
Well, and alligators for
and
me.
Bermuda Triangle.
And getting bitten by snakes. We had lots of snakes in our neighborhood. Well, you know, we lived kind of in the woods. Yeah.
Now, how could this be? How could we have the bends? We're not even near water. I haven't even driven to the wharf yet.
They don't even explain it.
No.
No, the bends, like...
Battling the agonies of the diver's nightmare, Ray's powerful fingers fumble at the size and weight controls hidden in the palms of his invisible when expanded uniform. He switches to the Atom because he's noticed this costumed gentleman tiptoeing through the bookend exhibit.
Yeah, so the next instant, the tiny Titan is hitting the taut wire that forms part of an unusual bookend, I'll say.
Now that is unusual. It's like a little trapeze bookend.
No, I think it's a ship.
I think it's a trapeze. It's got a ladder going up to the high wire.
Oh, I guess it is a... Yeah.
this gentleman in the costume throws a bar of gold, which is apparently a unique bookend, solid bar of gold, right at the Atom. The Atom quickly makes himself so small that he slips between the atoms of the bookend so he won't get hurt. Then he goes back to his 6-inch height and dives at the gentleman.
But then two of the gentleman's henchmen come in and shoot. And they fire harpoon guns at the Atom, who then makes himself so light he floats on the air currents and then dances and jumps off of the harpoons and then face plants with his 180 pounds of mass combined into his doll-sized form into the face of the frogman. Are they like divers? They're divers.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. They're dressed like frogmen and they're shooting harpoons.
No, they don't have flippers on, thank God.
No flippers, but air tanks, face masks, and harpoons, and everyone in the museum got the bends. But they never explain how.
Oh, wait a second. I think I know what's going on here.
What?
Gil Kane.
Yeah, what right? about him?
Isn't he like a... Isn't he a wacky artist?
Gil Kane? No. Well, Gil Kane draws Green Lantern.
Huh. Well, but is it Gardner Fox, maybe? Who's responsible for this bullshit? Well,
Gardner Fox is the writer.
Well, who's responsible for putting diving frogmen into this panel? We never see them again. Never.
Well, it would be Gil Kane, but he's probably going on some instruction from Gardner Fox.
Okay.
Like the henchmen come in dressed as frogmen. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Listener, you must be as aggravated at this as I am.
No, I doubt it.
Okay.
You are a well-known hater of Earth 2. Suddenly, this gentleman, who's not dressed as a frogman, he's got a purple suit on with a wacky helmet, he disappears through an oval nimbus of light beyond a world just like Earth.
But it can't be this Earth. It's raining here.
In that other world, it's a clear moonlit night.
Unless it's a different part of Earth.
But that can't be because of the position of the stars. Then that must mean...
It's Earth 2!
That world is almost a parallel of our own, geographically and historically. It even has its own superheroes, the members of the Justice Society of America. If you're new, listener, the Justice Society of America was a team of superpowered beings and non-superpowered beings who banded together in the misty days of World War II to fight crime and Nazis. Then
on Earth One is where the current by current, I mean 1966, where the current crop of superheroes live. It's a much more involved story than that. Just Google Earth One and Earth Two.
Okay.
You'll find out all about it. Yes, and Earth Two also has villains, foremost among them being the Thinker.
What a racket I worked out for myself. I rob Earth One, then come back to my own world, Earth Two, and enjoy my cleverly ill-gotten gains.
I've decided he's like the brother Center Square on Hollywood Squares.
Paul Lynde?
Paul Lynde, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On my own world, these rare bookends haven't even been stolen, so there won't be anybody here looking for me as the thief.
Maybe he is the Earth 2 Paul Lynde. Why does he have to be the brother?
He's awfully handsome.
Well, Paul Lynde was quite a looker. Yes, come on.
Okay. So, and I owe it all to my thinking cap. This marvelous invention of mine stimulates my brain cells, increases my thinking ability to the point of genius. Not only that, but I've also managed to increase its sidereal powers?
Uh-huh.
Sidereal powers?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that the creative centers of my brain are tremendously hyped up. Now I can generate any type of telekinetic energy, the special energy which controls mind over matter, enabling me to mentally create actual objects and people, will them to act as I command, to help me carry off my robberies. Yes, sirree, that makes me the smartest, slickest scoundrel in the two worlds.
Hey, remember when we went to Paul Lynde's graveside?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Do you remember? We didn't have any money to speak
of
at all.
Not a cent.
Right? And we just went on a road trip, you and me, and we had the best fun. We went, who else? We saw Annie Oakley's grave.
Annie Oakley's grave.
James Dean. James Dean.
Paul Lynde. Agnes Moorehead. And we went to Mammoth Cave.
Mammoth Cave, yep.
And we broke into the little Bible-themed putt-putt golf, which was closed.
We looked at it in advance on the interwebs, uh-huh. Didn't we? We jumped over the fence.
Yes.
Yes, we took pictures.
Don't tell Jesus. But when the cleverest of crooks returns to his swank hideaway and turns on his television set, he hears the news bulletin. The Thinker has struck again, appearing this evening at a rare bookend exhibit he made off of the fortune in valuable book supporters.
What? But it can't be, unless by some incredible coincidence a crook on this world dreamed up the same idea I did. After all, what happens on Earth sometimes happens on the other. Of all the blasted luck, just when I had things figured out to perfection, now the law will be out hunting for me, and there isn't anything I can do about it. Or is there? With my thinking cap, I should be able to figure out a way out of my difficulty.
What odd fate has struck the Thinker right in the middle of his cleverest scheme? I don't know. Do you?
No.
Uh-oh. Well, they put the letters page right here in the middle of the issue. Dear Editor, I give up. After 6 full-page tries at a nice, involved, intellectual type letter of comment on the Atom 27, I just plain give up. I could send you a lot of incoherent nonsense, but I'm not going to waste everybody's time, mine included. Suffice it to say this. Beauty and the Beast Gang was good and honestly amusing. I'm going to miss the hotshot language and the corny jokes, even though they did interrupt the stream of thought throughout the stories. I do remember that, us commenting on that. This is from the Atom number 27, which appeared on episode 181 of this very podcast. And I remember of the couple of issues of the Atom, the Gardner Foss would like break the fourth wall and go, hoo-hoo, look out, Atom. Things are going to get ya. Do you remember that?
I do.
Corn is funny, but the sophisticate naturally finds it excruciatingly painful, so the decision to cut it out in future issues is no surprise. Stowaway on a hot air balloon was a beautiful story. These time pool flings are really terrific. Please continue them forever and ever. That's when the Adams professor friend lowers him down into the time pool on fishing wire so he could travel through time. I've never seen such an interesting way of showing the past as affected by our hero. Every other hero travels back in time eventually, but Adam does it best of all. Irene Vartanoff, Bethesda, Maryland.
Good old Irene. I love it when you find her.
I look for her now, first thing. I go right to the letters page. In another part of town,
The following morning, a man wakes to the sight of priceless bookends. Priceless, Rob. Priceless bookends scattered over his room. His eyes bulge with amazement, then with disbelief, and finally with utter horror.
Artie, you were robbing again.
No, Alicia, I swear it. I didn't steal them bookends. I promised the Atom I'd go straight and I'd never steal again, and I've kept my word.
Then how did those bookends get here? I've just been listening to the news after getting in from my night job, and I find you with these stolen goods.
I swear I never took them, honey. I'd never seen them before. I don't know how they got here.
Even if I believed you, the police wouldn't.
I know someone who will believe me and help me. The Atom. I'll call him at the special number he gave me.
And then I'm going to think to myself, it was the Atom who nabbed me at that safe cracking job, who then took a poisonal interest in me, helped me get a job when I got out on parole. He even persuaded me to take a course in electronic engineering and VCR repair and talked my wife into giving me another chance.
VCR repair.
Or just look like a model. This particular morning, Professor Al, Atom of Earth 2, Pratt, has a lecture class he's conducting at Calvin College.
Any listeners who can tell me what exactly Al Pratt is a professor of? Because in my mind, he was like a phys ed major at Calvin College.
Oh.
Which, I mean, maybe he's gone on and gotten a terminal degree in physical education. That could be.
Well, he is talking about history here.
Right. Well, that tracks because all coaches teach history.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
Oh, God.
Did your history teacher in high school was a coach? I'll bet 100%.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I knew it.
Yes.
It's a truism.
As a matter of fact, my history class was team taught by two coaches.
Yes,
I swear to God. And one of them looked like a hot, fit Kenny Rogers. I swear to God.
My brain can't process that.
Yeah, I'm like...
Oh, but it's kind of like Grizzly Adams, maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had not hot coaches were my history teachers.
Okay.
So, I leave you with this parting thought, that the study of history is merely a study of progress of mankind from crude beginnings to a future where every man shall be equal.
God willing.
I repeat, every man.
And woman. Later that afternoon, in his home, he plays back a special taped message of his phone calls.
I need help, Atom. In some manner I can't understand, I stole those rare bookends last night and was mistaken for the thinker. But I'm innocent.
From a secret compartment, he draws forth the colorful costume that symbolizes the Atom, the mighty might crusader who utilizes his titanic strength to fight against crime and injustice.
Moments later, he is vaulting into a sleek roadster.
Now thinking to himself, now to convert my automobile, my car, into the Atom-mobile.
And he presses studs and turns knobs, and then the Atom is off on another case, and that is a sweet ass car.
I would kill for that car.
I really do appreciate Gardner Fox going to great lengths to create sort of a mythology for the Atom, which I'm sure never existed. Like, I'm sure he it makes you think that, oh yeah, of course he has a secret compartment for his clothing. It must have appeared in hundreds of stories.
Right.
And of course he has a supercar that must have appeared in hundreds of stories. No, never.
Never.
I mean, I don't know about the costume, but the car, first and only appearance as far as I'm aware.
10 minutes later, he's listening to Artie Perkins and his wife, Alicia. You'll do Artie's voice.
I didn't do it, despite the evidence. I couldn't have. I swore to go straight and I have.
I believe him, Atom. Artie isn't that good of an actor to fool me, even though I accused him of it at first.
He's no Cheryl Baker.
Who's the actress?
the soap opera actress, Cheryl. Was her name?
I believe him too, Alicia. Artie was a safecracker. The way the bookends were stolen just isn't his way of doing things.
But what can he do? We believe him, but the police won't.
But even as the midget muscleman opens his mouth to soothe Alicia Perkins, he gasps
Adam, are my eyes playing tricks on me?
No, no. I see the same incredible thing you do.
What are they seeing?
I don't know. Okay. Do we ever find out?
This is where I started to fall asleep.
Oh.
And so I went back and read it quickly when I woke up.
Yep.
And I didn't understand what had happened. What they're seeing is he's going into a trance.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's why it's not explained. It will be, you have to think about it later on. So, sometime before this moment of surprise and bewilderment in the thinker's hideaway.
The thinker realizes he is not guilty.
Oh, wait, am I doing his voice?
Oh, you don't have to
okay.
do the whole
Yeah, go
script.
Ahead. You're right.
He's going just going back over the facts that he knows. He robbed Earth 1, but not Earth 2. But if I didn't, who did? And whoever did is blaming me.
And he goes, and speaking of my thinking cap, why isn't it helping me think my way out of this dilemma? I have a good mind to wait. Oh, my brain is coming up with something at last. Yes, I believe I have the answer to my dilemma. When I improved my thinking cap, I made certain adjustments so I could send out great amounts of telekinetic energy. Anyway, he says the telekinetic energy must affect someone here on Earth, too, dominating the motor responses of his brain so that he, in effect, becomes him, the thinker.
Yes.
So he's from Earth, too, the thinker.
Yes.
And it also affects someone on Earth, too.
Well, because he was on Earth 1 doing the robbery.
Oh, okay.
So, when he goes on his next looting expedition on Earth 1, whoever he's affecting here on Earth 2 will also go, and he's built a device where he can track down the person that's being affected on Earth 2.
Oh, some competition to the lexophone.
And once I found him, I'll turn the stolen goods over to the police. I'll clear myself of any charges here on Earth 2 so I can profit from the things I steal on Earth 1.
It's a really bad plan. There's so many things.
Nobody can outthink him, so he's clearly operating on a level far above us. He's playing five-dimensional chess.
So now we go back to where they are. They're looking at him, the Adam, Earth 2 Adam, and his wife, Priscilla Presley.
Yes.
The wife of, I don't know what her real name is.
Alicia
Perkins. So,
Artie's in a trance.
Artie's in a trance. She goes, something's happening to him. Looks like he's in a trance.
He's in the grip of an unknown force. They follow him to Calvin City Art Gallery.
Where he starts to steal paintings. Stealing
paintings. Where's the armed guards?
And Earth 2 Adam just starts to punch him, try to get him out of that trance.
Yeah, but he's unaffected. Nothing Adam does can stop him. Meanwhile, Artie punches the Adam and almost knocks him out.
Yeah. And Adam tries to punch him again. Punch, 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 punch kick, punch, zock, punch. Zock, punch, punch. No effect. Artie
this is a great
knocks.
It's
great. He knocks him out. He hits him so hard he doubles him up. Like one of those things where you flip up in the air and come back. That should have broken a tooth, or at least.
Yeah.
Man.
Anyway, Artie somehow got almost superhuman power. Adam realizes that Artie's not really stealing.
Mm-mm.
The painting.
And Artie puts them all into a sack and puts them over his shoulder.
Classic Artie.
Once more, the Adam trails the reformed criminal through the dark streets of Calvin City.
Yes. Artie takes all the paintings back to his house and then wakes up. Alicia has left for her night job by this time.
He looks like George W. Bush there.
He does a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you see him the other day at the funeral? He looks old.
I know. Did you see him give that little bump to Obama?
Yes.
Because he didn't shake his hand. He did a friendly little chest bump to him.
Well, we're mad at Obama now.
Why?
Because he was sitting giggling like a schoolgirl with Donald Trump.
Well, that's because Donald Trump leaned over to him. I didn't actually see what they were saying. I saw voiceovers. And Donald Trump was like, can you believe he didn't see? He didn't. He just walked right by me. He didn't say anything. And Obama suspected, what did you expect? You're an idiot. You're a big buffoon.
Yeah, I don't think that's what happened. But.
Oh.
You got to keep up, man. Obama's been canceled.
Oh, come on. Our only black president has been canceled? I don't think so. No. I refute that.
I'm only telling you what I heard on the Twitter sphere.
Well, you should watch the voiceover videos. They're fantastic.
Oh, I'm familiar.
Yeah.
Look how short Adam is. Now you can really see he's 5'1".
Yeah. He's a wee thing. Well, this little adventure is about to take quite a twist.
I should say so. The phone rings.
Ring, ring.
The Adam answers it. At Artie's house, mind you,
mm-hmm.
who should jump out of the phone, but...
But Earth One Adam.
Earth One Adam, as you know, he can travel on phone electric impulses.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I did.
Okay.
I know it looked, you're looking, I know that my face makes you think that I didn't remember that, but I totally did remember that.
Adam of Earth One explains that he visited Adam of Earth Two's home, and when he wasn't there, Adam listened to his taped phone messages. That's some audacity.
It's okay. They're buddies.
They've met once.
Okay. Maybe they're not buddies.
Also, 1966, who had voice answering machines?
It's Earth 2. Anything's possible. Says you to me whenever I push back on Earth 2.
Adam of Earth 1 learned this Artie's number from those messages, dialed it, and here I am. And what brings you here to my Earth? Well, I belt, you know, Adam tells the story about the thinker robbing the rare bookend exhibit. And then explains that he built a special dimensional vibrator and came here as soon as I realized what that Earth 2 thief was up to.
It's amazing.
Now the mystery is beginning to clear up. Mm-hmm. They understand that when the thinker robs Earth 1, some mysterious force compels Artie to pull off the same sort of robbery. And then who, should, to my wondering eyes, should appear but the thinker?
Just like on cue. Exactly, my dear Adam. And I am that mysterious force. I see my costume foe from Earth 1 has come to join you. Excellent. I shall eliminate both of you at the same time.
Aw, you couldn't handle one, Adam, let alone two.
I'll get my first crack at him, Adam. He wanted on me on... that's too fast, huh? He's wanted on my Earth, remember?
Adam of Earth 1 flies across the room. He's gonna give a big punch to the thinker, but the thinker suddenly...
animates... a brass lamp and...
animates a brass lamp.
With his brain powers. He did it with his brain.
With reflexes like those of a cat, Earth One's Adam catches the lamp and rides it through the air.
Whee!
My muscles are still those of a 180-pound man, despite my tiny size. I'll hold onto this lamp and send it on the fly.
Which he does and knocks off the thinking cap of poor... what's his name?
The thinker.
The thinker.
Without your thinking cap, thinker, you're helpless. Punch, punch, punch. That's what Adam thinks, because thinker's still got a hold of this helmet, and he uses it as a bludgeon.
Yeah, smacks him out. Well, then, as one Adam drops to the floor, dazed, the second Adam, joined by his friend, Artie Perkins, drives forward, but then the thinker... uses his telepathic powers and crashes the ceiling down on Artie.
Sorry, telekinetic, surely you meant.
What did I say?
Telepathic. That's a very different kind of
mental power. You're absolutely right. That would be him making him think that the
ceiling... That's like the difference between Professor X and Jean Grey, Rob.
Oh, I should have... Yes, of course, I bet. But yeah.
Anyway, the ceiling crashes down on Artie. Who's going to pay for Artie's house? The Atom?
No one. That's what happens in all these superhero world, you know, battles. No, everybody's left to pay for all the damage that the superheroes do.
Well, they must have villains. Some kind of indemnity insurance, surely.
Act of God-like creatures.
Now, the thinker has animated the wooden furniture so that it's growing fists out of it, punching the Atom of Earth, too.
Oh, I totally missed that.
I just saw it just now.
I thought, when I glanced over it, I thought, oh, those are the thinker's fists. Oh.
No, it's pieces of wood from the furniture.
Well, that would hurt.
Now, both Adams and Artie Perkins now are unconscious. The thinker conjures up a metal cage out of thin air and traps them all inside.
And then electrifies it.
And then electrifies
it. How does he do that? Does it say how?
He does it with the power of his mind.
Of his mind. I would have taken a lamp... pulled out the cord and then just tied it on to the cage and plugged it in.
Okay, well, that's why you're not a supervillain.
I guess not.
Now, the two Atoms regain consciousness. They realize they are trapped in an electrified cage.
This is the part where I was thinking, because I really didn't know the Earth One Atom at all. I was like, what? He has no powers at all? Adam 1 has to do everything. Everything.
It's true.
Earth 2 Adam has not done anything to forward this story except to come to the defense of
Artie?
Artie, that's it.
Well, that's something.
It's something. It's not a work of a superhero.
And he drove that sweet-ass car across darkened Calvin City.
Yeah, it's true.
So Adam of Earth One shrinks down so he can get between the chain link fence and races across the floor at dot size. Did I ever tell you the dots for eyes? I'm sure I have told the dots for eyes stories.
Oh, I know that's the punchline, but tell me the rest of it.
Well, a friend of mine's brother had a girlfriend when they were in college, and she was from upstate New York. And my friend used to write letters to her brother, and she'd draw little cartoons of the family, and just, you know, had dots for eyes, little cartoons. And so the girlfriend would read the letters and see the little cartoons. And then she finally came to meet the family. And she said, "Oh my God, they really do have dots for eyes." Adam races across the floor at dot size.
You don't have to say their names, but do I know these people?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I did.
And the tiny Titan searches through Artie's house, knowing that Artie is studying electronic engineering and TV VCR repair, he'll have plenty of snips of varying sizes, which he uses in his experiments. Selecting the proper wire cutters for his need, the Atom dashes back to the metal cage where he uses rubber-handled snippers to cut the cage open.
And that should have done it.
Well, it does.
Except he gets shocked.
Well, yeah, but he's just a little guy. There's going to be some electrical discharge, I should imagine.
Not if he's properly grounded.
So anyway,
they insulated, get out of the cage. I mean, not grounded. Insulated.
Right, right, right. Now, they find out that Artie can't be awoken. The Thinker must have put him in some kind of a coma.
Oh, no.
The Atom hasn't been able to rouse him at all. We'll have to carry on without him. All right, so they have to figure out how to find the Thinker. They make their first stop at Artie's lab.
He makes a telekinetic detector.
Okay. Wow. First of all, Adam of Earth 2, again, we don't know what he's a professor of, but he builds a thinking cap energy detector out of spare parts in Artie's workshop.
Well, he built a sweet-ass car that transforms from a regular car to the Atommobile with just a couple of knobs and clunks.
Right, but I was thinking, like, maybe one of his friends could help him with that, like Mr. Terrific or Dr. Fate or somebody.
Oh, I don't know.
He's like a MacGyver, so that's his superpower.
Yeah.
He can build a thinking cap
He's
energy detector
wicked
out
smart.
Of spare, ports, spare parts. but he can't pick up a trace of him.
Well, then they decide to go to Earth.
Oh, maybe he's gone to Earth 1 for another robbery.
Right.
This vibrator of mine will shift us there in the wink of an eye. So
how do we use it? Well, I just put it here and turn it on. Oh!
Here we are at Earth 1. Sure enough, they arrive at Earth 1 and the telekinetic detector starts glowing. And here's where we put the Thinker out of business.
But first,
here's more of the nautical theme. Now we're in an oceanic museum. I wonder if it's near the wharf where Ray and Gene are going to get their seafood dinner.
Maybe.
Luckily, this oceanic museum has a display of ancient Spanish doubloons,
which are worth even more than their weight in gold.
Two atoms again? Gulp. Well, here they come. The Thinker makes the model ships come to life and start shooting tiny little cannonballs.
That's cool.
However, Adam of Earth 2 sees Adam of Earth 1 shrink and dive into the model ship's helm.
So he picks up, Adam of Earth 2 picks up the whole model ship and throws it at the Thinker.
Yep.
Who is not at all afraid of this, ducks out of the way. But as he's ducking out of the way, off of the stern of the model ship launches Adam of Earth 1 onto the back of the helmet of the Thinker.
Yes. and starts pulling at circuit wires and filaments on the helmet.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the Thinker is directing iron cannonballs, relics from the Civil War, to pound Adam of Earth 2 to a pulp before he could be apprehended.
Right.
Mighty fists pound into the first two cannonballs, or normal human strength fists.
Hurry, Adam, hurry, before the Thinker increases his bombardment.
As more follow-up cannonballs fly at the Adam of Earth 2, they suddenly drop to the floor with sudden solid thumps.
Adam 1 says, the Thinkers think less.
Ha ha ha. His helmet's been disabled.
Just in the nick of time.
He gets a double punch from the atoms.
Pow, pow, pow.
And we'll leave it to the two Earths to deal with the Thinker and his stolen loot.
Little Adam says, I have a feeling that when I disconnected the thinking cap wires, Artie's Perkins reconverted from his coma. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to slow down just a little bit. My eyes are going faster than my mouth. I have a feeling that when I disconnected the thinking cap wires, Artie Perkins recovered from his coma. His name will be cleared now, and he can carry on his law-abiding life.
As a TV VCR repairman. Later, when Ray Palmer is alone with his fiancée, Jean Loring, Lady Lawyer, and how did your case of the television actress mother turn out, Jean?
The judge, where, by the way, does she know that he's the Adam?
No.
Well, where the hell's he been in her eyes?
Well, I don't know. She was doubled over in pain. What does she care?
The judge ruled that the baby belonged with his mother. I must say, Ray, I never pleaded a case so eloquently. You see, when we are married and I should decide to keep up my law practice, I'll need a governess to care for our babies. In pleading for Cheryl Drake, I was actually pleading for myself.
Ha ha ha, Jean, you're adorable. I'm not going to allow you to work once we're married. That's not true. He doesn't really say that.
No.
Jean's got an interesting future in store for herself.
Does she?
Yeah. I don't know if I should talk about it or wait until we get to our
final issue. I'll forget.
Oh, well, she's crazy. She has a mental breakdown.
Oh.
She becomes Queen Jean, Mean Queen Jean. She thinks she's a space queen or something.
Oh, in the go-go check pod?
No. We won't get that far.
Okay.
Then
I definitely won't remember.
But then she's cured, and then they get married. But then they break up, they split up. He goes to live with a tiny population of people in the South American jungles. And he
leaves Lady Lawyer Jean Loring.
I think they mutually split up, or she has an affair or something. Anyway, he goes to live in South America with a race of tiny people, and he becomes a sword and sorcery hero for a while. Then he comes back. I don't think they get back together. They get divorced. And then she goes crazy again. And then she is trying to get back with him, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so she stages this whole elaborate prank that goes wrong, and she kills Sue Dibney.
And oh, my God.
Then she becomes Eclipso.
She becomes Eclipso?
Yeah. So they just, it's a case of a character they couldn't figure out what to do with.
Well, why not put her through the mental ringer and see what happens? My God, poor her.
Poor Sue Dibney, I should say.
Well, yes, of course.
Oh, but spoiler alert, by the way, everyone, in case you haven't read anything past 1985. Well.
Well, I'm sure any of our loyal listeners who really love comics already knew the story.
Sure. Anything else to add? What do you think of our Earth 2 Atom?
Oh, I love this comic.
You did?
Oh, the Earth 2 Atom?
Yeah.
It's disappointing. But Earth 1 Adam's delightful.
Well, I'm going to show you his original costume. I think you'll like it better. Mm. Short, stocky redhead and wrestling outfit.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. And you can find us right back here next week.
Right.
You can also find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra.
Indeed.
Publishing monthly.
Bye. Is that it?
I don't know.
Oh, anything? I guess.
Okay. We'll be back next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Hey, Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
High in the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone, come on.
Guide us.
When you're beside me, we can fly.